It's a new day. It used to be you'd open the scriptures or unfurl the scroll, but now you enter your password and get your screen open, and then your text pops up. So that's where we are today, and I have no context for this. My dad, who was a preacher, never did this. So I'm not having a very preacherly feeling right now. But it's the times we live in. It's so great to be back. And thanks again to Blair for inviting me, and to you for having me. Thank you for being so welcoming and open every time I come here. I want to also thank Dwight for the robe and for being 6 feet or more tall. and you know, I hear that there are some people here who did not have much sleep last night. So I want to thank you guys for trying to stay awake. And if you fall asleep, I'm not going to hold it against you. But it does give me the challenge to see if I can be interesting for you this morning. It's difficult for us to imagine the degree to which God wants to change the world. Can I say that again? It's difficult for us to imagine the degree to which God wants to change the world. We tend to imagine that, yes, God wants to change the world to bring peace and love. He wants to make us happy and peaceful, but there are a lot of bad people out there. And so it's not going to happen, at least not in my lifetime, and certainly not for a very long time. You know, things change slowly in this world. People get impatient and expect things to be fixed in 4-year presidential terms or 4-year mayoral terms. But look, we've got even Obama. And how much change did that bring? So I'm just going to make sure my circle is strong. My family is at least living the dream. And do a little bit to make whatever difference I can. One evening, a little girl named Sanya Pirani was 6 years old. She was watching TV with her mom. And on the screen comes this image of a very sad, very thin woman who was holding her baby, who was emaciated. They were clearly poor, hungry, sick, and dirty. She didn't know what to do with this image, and she ran crying to her room. Her mom followed her upstairs and asked why she was crying. Why were the moms so sad? She said. Well, said the mom, their kids were hungry and sick. And they didn't know if they could get well or get food. But why doesn't God help them? Said Sanya. Well, God uses your eyes to see them, said her mom, and your hands to help them. Well, I'll help them then, she said. Well, Sanya Pirani is now a sixth grader from Hidden Oaks Middle School in Prior Lake. Anybody know about her? Well, I'll tell you a little bit. She's the founder and CEO of Sanya's Hope for Children. It's a nonprofit organization. With half the world's population under age, their mission is to help young people with basic necessities of life, find educational endeavors, find their voice, take action, and made an impact on vital community issues. She's in seventh grade. She's a young entrepreneur and philanthropist and has been making large-scale impact on local and global communities since the age of seven. One of her biggest accomplishments has been feeding 122,436 meals within the past 2 years in Haiti via Feed My Starving Children. So she's already hosted a successful food drive, coat drive, and school supply drive, and is in the process of preparing for her biggest ever Christmas bag project, where she and her partners sew 500 school bags, filling them with school supplies and a toy for homeless children. She's also supporting Hope for the Holidays, etc. I hear, and I shared this with the in the group this morning for our fireside chat, that when, I think I've said this before, when Columbus's ships approached the shores of America, the native people couldn't see them. They couldn't see them because they had no context for them. Were they like big butterflies with big wings? One of those things. So you just don't see them. It's nothing's happening. In the same way, we often don't see much of what God is showing us. We have no context for it. We have capitalist eyes, American eyes, Western eyes. That is largely because we get taught from an early age what to see. Sanya ran from her from the room because she saw what she saw disturbed her. It didn't fit her frame of reference, where when you're hungry, you tell your mom, and she gives you a snack or a meal with a smile. When you're tired, mom tucks you in at night in your bed, in your own room, gives you a smile and a kiss. When you're sick, your dad takes you to the doctor, and he gives you a checkup and says kind things. He gives you some medicine that's kind of syrupy, with a smile and kind words. So what's that other thing I saw on TV? Now, this is the place where the thinking of the third slave comes in. If the third slave was a parent, she would have thought, why didn't the anchorman or anchorwoman announce that the following story contains images and concepts that might be disturbing to young children? Now my daughter has been traumatized. I should have listened to my brother, who removed all TV from his home once he started having kids. Now my poor baby is having to deal with all this negativity in some godforsaken country thousands of miles away that we can't do anything about anyway. Now what am I going to tell her? What am I going to tell her? What am I going to tell her that won't make her some whimpering, helpless child with sleepless nights? I need to give her a positive image, a positive message about we can avoid poverty, how we can do that by being educated and by hard work, about our great country and our fortunate family. She just wants to understand that these conditions are not a threat to her personally and have no possibility of being her destiny. So here goes. Sanya, I'm so sorry you had to see that, baby. That was just too sad for you to see. The TV people should never have shown that. But mommy and daddy will always be here for you. And thank God that you live in a home where your mommy and daddy love you and work hard to provide for you. Thank God that you live in a country where we have freedoms and we can make our own money and provide for our children. These parents live in a sad and evil countries where people don't fight for their freedom like our forefathers did. Because they don't make those sacrifices, they suffer. When they get tired of suffering, they too will fight for what and to get their own freedoms, like George Washington fought for our freedom. That is just the way life is, honey. We can't change their world, only they can. And God has taught us that everyone must work for the changes they want in their family and in their country. Now, after a few incidents like that and a few explanations, your child gets it and can move into the future free of trauma, free of the trauma of empathy, and able to live comfortably in an uncomfortable world. It is for this reason that Jesus tells this story. After trying to undo the damage of our ethnocentric, nationalistic, tribal, constricted view of reality, a viewpoint based on shoring up our gains, building our barns of security for ourselves and the next several generations, we can't see that after we die, our children might as well be born in Asia, Africa, or the Pine Ridge Reservation. That for all our attempts to marry up, as I have, aesthetically, our children, after our death, will have not blue eyes and blonde hair, not green eyes and freckles, not caramel skin and tight curls, but all the colors of humanity. We're going to see that. We can't see it now. It is then, in the afterlife, that we will see the bizarrely constricted scope of our culturally and religiously programmed understanding of community, service, and stewardship. Wow, what a day. But we can get a little peek now. So my question for St. Matthew's is, will you shelter your children from the clear-eyed appraisal of the circumstances of life on earth? Or will you teach them how to be aware of the suffering and equally to the grand vision that God has for their community, their country, and the world? Will you give them the challenge to be present to God's vision of the world as it is, and then to move in and be God's hands to make the world what it can be, to invest in the lives of all His children, rich and poor, black and white, red and yellow, to be intolerant of suffering, hunger, ignorance, oppression, and injustice, no matter where they meet it? That's what Sonia's mother did. When I heard the story, I was blown away that a mom of a six-year-old could say to her, who has just seen suffering represented from across the oceans, that God's given you eyes to see it and hands to change it. What a burden to put on a six-year-old child. And yet, God is speaking to that six-year-old in each of us today. The one, yes, that you're trying to protect from the pain of the world. The one, yes, that you're trying to shelter from the possible responsibility of taking responsibility for the change that the world needs. God speaks to the child in you and the child in the first two rows today that we must be stewards of the world. And when we move boldly into that, we'll be like a woman centuries ago in a male chauvinistic society, sitting under a tree giving advice, who was willing to face the vulnerability and fragility of her people, who were being oppressed by an army of 900 iron chariots filled with testosterone men bearing weapons. She looked at it as a woman, and God said, I will give the answer through you. Wow. Are you going to take that step today? Wow, if we do that, this small group of people can change the world. God bless you. Amen.